opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio. Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda is still up in the mountains where it's cool, and I have Dr. Doug McConnell with me here as he's flying. He's my wingman today.
Playing the part of Trish Clark.
Trish is on. Linda, of course, is up in the mountains, and Trish is on vacation, but you know what? It's two guys.
Yep, so we're here, and I'm really happy to be here.
Well, I'm happy for you to be here, too.
Yeah, it's a great honor.
It's 6 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock here, 530-605-4567 is our phone number. We are streaming live at KCNR1460.com, and Bad Bob's got the weather.
Sunshine and lots of it will push our temperatures up to about 103 today, so the good times are kind of aside for the time being. Overnight, low in the mid-60s, be 104 on Friday and Saturday, then back down to a relatively gentle 100, but it heats up again as we get into the new week. We could see close to 107 by next Wednesday. So looks like hot for the next several days. You put the usual precautions in place. Be careful with fire, please. And right now in Reading, it is 70 degrees, and the report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
It's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. They have discounts for seniors and veterans. It's a veteran-owned business. They give them a call at 365-3793. And, of course, I turned on my air conditioning because it was fixed. It was fixed Tuesday night.
Good.
So I'm walking through the house Wednesday. And I walked, you know, I set it for I set it for 80, you know, because because it to me that's cool enough in the house. I mean, when I sleep, we sleep at a lower temperature. But walking through the house, but it was very comfortable. The dog had a little scarf around her neck when she's walking through because she felt a little chilly after having being you know 95 in there for so long. Alliance Heating and Air, what can I say? Thank you very much. You guys did a great job. Okay, now, Dr. Doug.
Yes, sir.
Have you been watching the Olympics at all?
Some. Not as much as I should have.
Is there anybody in this part, well, maybe the world, but at least the United States, that has not fallen in love with our female gymnastics team?
They're good.
They are, not only are they just kick butt, outstanding gymnast. They're just cute as little bugs.
Well, and there's a personality and
personality.
And
they have it all.
They're really athletic salesmen for the country and the American.
They're
a good representative piece of the.
They are a cross section of America.
Yes, right.
And here's the other thing: how many little girls out there right now are looking at their mommy and daddies, or mommies or daddies? Or significant others. You know, I hate Sam to say it. Okay, looking at their mommies and daddies and saying,
Stop editorializing.
I want to do that. I want to be in the Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
And here's the thing. Two of the young ladies, Gabby and I think it's Allie, were on the team last time that won the gold medal. So this is historic. We won the team gold medal in gymnastics. Two Olympics in a row, mm-hmm. And they during this last 3 years they've just been beating everybody, and now you've got this 4'8" dynamo who is just, when you watch her move, you just can't believe it. I mean, she's up in the air doing layouts and landing on 2 feet, not moving an inch. It's like she's got suction cups on her feet.
Right, boom,
that's it.
Spider Girl.
Wow.
Early in my residency at UCLA, I remember Nadia Comaneci.
That's right. Remember, she came out.
The experts were Eastern European, heavily subsidized Eastern Bloc countries. East Germany, then Romania, and so forth. And they were excellent athletes, but they were living in a sort of a state-controlled
world. Oh, yeah, they were being paid, they were being taken care of.
They were taken from their parents, kept in, and...
That's right.
Raised
they
in
were
academies.
Taken. If they showed promise, that then they were given education, but they were also a product of the state.
That's correct. And it was really the East German, Russian, and the East Bloc countries that basically had these sort of academies. And in truth, I think, as I recall, I think her coach ended up in the United States, a very successful coach.
He did. And not only that, and then this year, 147 of the Russian Olympic team was disqualified for doping.
Yes.
And others have been disqualified for 14, 15 months and came back for the Olympics because of doping. So when you get into when you see that, I mean, because the reason that they did the whole team was because it was a state-sponsored kind of.
Well, it was a great way to get out. Your family's housing could be adjusted. Your future and education and so forth was all enhanced by the state taking
interest. The previous ones,
The good news is it's a great statement about the American free system where we can
free enterprise system.
Well, develop that expertise. Admittedly, a lot of discipline and potentially subsidies and costs and so forth.
And a lot of times the girls have to, you know what, let's just be honest about it. Sometimes because where the school where they're going to be training at, they end up living with the coach or the coach's family.
Yes.
For a large part, go to school there. Sure. But it's not like they're taken by the state and moved to a different place.
Agreed.
Well, the other part, Michael Phelps.
Yes.
This is his third Olympics.
Yes.
He went out in the 200-meter butterfly, and he lost it. That's the only one he lost in 2012. He came back and won this year. He's 31. They call him Superman, and they should. And then he goes out in the team four by 200 freestyle, and they were just so far ahead at the end it wasn't even funny. And then our women's team goes out there and does the same thing.
The
men and women are doing great.
Yes, I agree. And the young 18-year-old swimmer who – 19-year-old who basically
– Ledecky.
Yeah. And she set record. But she also – I think there was some reporting about how she basically made the point that you don't have to have all the doping and the other stuff.
That was Lily Key.
Okay.
She did. She said that. She goes – she says – and she said on that, on worldwide TV – we just wanted to prove you didn't have to dope to win.
And what a great message to our own youth.
It is.
Yeah.
Too bad our baseball players and others.
Well, okay.
All right. Okay, that was my Pollyanna-ish look for this morning and wanting to talk about, you know, those positive things you see out there. And
I agree. It's something Americans should be proud of.
The only thing I questioned, Doug, and you and I both remember this, is when it was just amateurs. Now, we know that the Soviet bloc and all that, they were not amateurs. They supported their people, blah, 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 blah. We know that.
Yes.
But now, like in basketball, we've got our pros out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and of course, they're playing pros from other nations who play in our NBA. But what about the idea of amateurs? Like in tennis, there's no amateurs out there. In golf, there's no amateurs out there. In basketball, there's no amateurs out there. In baseball.
Yes.
I'm not sure about baseball.
Some college.
And then you get into some of the esoteric sports like shooting or canoeing. I mean these are amateurs. These guys and volleyball. I thought volleyball was amateurs. But I guess there are professional leagues out there, but the beach volleyball, of course, is they're pros.
Well,
but what happened to the idea of amateurs?
Well, I'll tell you. Well, what happened to just track and field? I mean, originally it started out as the Olympic Games were basically what you and I would call pretty much track and field.
Yeah.
And pure amateurs. I mean, I remember the story of Rayford Johnson, who I actually had the opportunity to meet when I was at UCLA, and C.K. Yang, who was representing his home country of Formosa, mm-hmm. or China, rather. but these were pure amateurs.
They were amateurs.
And
it was tough. But it was tough on them.
And the discus champion of the world, I think, was an air conditioning guy in Santa
Bruce
Monica.
Jenner. Bruce Jenner. Well, decathlete. He was.
They were all pure amateurs.
They were all college. Yeah.
Yeah. The rules were very strict. In fact, in high school, our team helped make a movie that ended up on Alcoa Presents. But we couldn't be paid for our weeks.
Well, they still can't.
We got new uniforms, courtesy of the studios.
Well, they had, you know, same thing here with that one girl, Missy Franklin, who was so good in the last Olympics and she's having problems here. But she was offered so much money, and they offered her, you know, to pay her for her to go back to New York to be there at a, you know, to be at a fundraiser. And the NCAA says, no, no, you can't take 1 cent. Mm-hmm. So if you want to go back there, you pay for it on your own. Well, then she can't do that. Anyway,
right. Well,
the whole thing is weird.
I think it's been the nexus or the intersection of big-time business, television entertainment, money, and wherever there's a sports professional, it's sort of, I think,
if there's
in a
money
way,
in
polluted
it.
Yeah.
I think it has. It has.
Here's my the great moment of America hockey, the Winter Games up in Lake Placid, a clear group of wonderful amateurs.
That's it.
And they took on the Russian pros and won. And that moment of them skating around the ice holding that flag, you looked at, I think, the finest in America defeating the really professional subsidizer of Soviet Union.
And that was in 1980.
80, I think so.
1980.
Yeah.
I was stationed back in Quantico. I remember that. Okay, hey, we got to take a break here. My guest host is, my wingman here is Dr. Doug McConnell. But
got your say.
Hey, you know what? This portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Sleep Number. You know what? The bed, when my Sleep Number setting is 60. And when Linda's gone, just all the pillows are up on that side. So it's just kind of like, you know, I'm just using half the bed. But see, this is the best thing about Sleep Number is that you can figure out which one works for you, which setting works for you, and you're going to be happy in that. You sleep much better. And with the new Sleep IQ technology they have, that gives hints on how to sleep, on workouts, and all these things. All those things come out of a good Sleep Number bed, which is rated number one in America in 2015 by Consumer Reports. I'm seeing the 2016, but I have no doubt, because they were there in 2014 also, as being the best mattress. It's made in America. It's guaranteed. And right now, you can get a Sleep Number mattress with Sleep IQ technology starting at only $1,099.98.
Hey, I might
you know what?
With that.
Those things last. You know what? You need to go down there and lay on the bed and let the pros down there at Sleep Number show you how, you know, show you. They've got a computer set up there when you're laying on the bed, shows you where the hot spots are, where friction is, and how you can adjust that, and they just go away. And you just go to sleep. We've never slept any better than we have than on Sleep Number. So head on down to the Target Shopping Center. Tell them that Carl and Linda sent you. Go on, lay on the bed down there. They've got all other types of things in there, too, that you can put on the bed, pillows and sheets and everything. They've got it all down at Sleep Number. We'll be right back after these messages. It's 7:18 in the morning right here on Free Fire Radio.
Laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with 2 full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo. 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
As I watch the politics on TV, I am reminded of my college political science instructor, Don Steck, for Coachmaster Collision Repair. He said that no matter what a politician said to get in office, once there, self-preservation became the most important thing. In other words, keeping the job became more important than doing the job. Benefit to the country became secondary. He was a little cynical because he had worked in politics for many years. Politics in Washington was never meant to be a lifetime occupation. Citizens were expected to serve a term or two and then return to private life. Politicians were never meant to become wealthy in office, yet we see reports of individuals amassing millions of dollars while in office. It's time to vote for America's interests first. Become an informed voter. To do less is a disservice to your country. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
We're going through the Streets of Fire soundtrack here. Bob is found my movie. Welcome back, Free Fire Radio. 7:22 in the morning right here at KCNR Free Fire Radio. Carl Bott here with Dr. Doug McConnell, who is my wingman today. 68 degrees. I'm sorry, it's 70 degrees out there. Going up to 103 today. Leave no carbon-based life forms in your car for any length of time. Weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call, 365-3793. This portion of the show brought to you by WellCare MD. And the reason I can switch these around a bit, but I'm starting with this one because I'm going to kind of like light the fuse here. It's one of the first practices in Reading to offer direct primary care, a simple and convenient health care model that provides unlimited office visits for a flat monthly fee. That's right, Dr. Jill does not get into tussles with the insurance company. She doesn't take insurance. This allows her to spend a lot of time healing and treating and caring for her patients. Unlimited, accessible, highly personalized health care for a low monthly fee. A doctor who views a doctor-patient relationship as a team. And how do you do this? Well, you give them a call at 262-6626 or visit them on the web at wellcaremd.com. It's the future of medical care in many places, I believe. WellCare MD. Now, our guest is Dr. Doug McConnell, and who has comments on a lot of things.
I do. But, not bashful.
But medicine. This All is right. what this has been your life. So we talk about Obamacare. We talk about concierge. This is a concierge type service.
And I'd like to talk about that.
Okay. Well, wherever you want to start.
Well, I don't know that physician per se, but I've been, as you know, I was in Long Beach ever since I left active duty in the Army until I moved up here in 2009. And the largest and really what was considered the best internal medicine group in Long Beach at Long Beach Memorial Hospital, which was a 900-bed facility, actually took up this model. It was just happening about the time I moved up here. There was five fellows, and they had been in practice for really as long as I had been there. They were quality folks. They were fed up with the insurance industry and the people they were hiring for authorizations and clearances just to get patients.
Their overhead had gone way up.
Absolutely, in terms of personnel, and then the delay in payments and the challenges from the insurance companies. And
this could be like in seven-figure delays.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, million or so dollars.
Well, we have five guys. Yeah. And they basically... there's a company nationally that has gone around helping practices move to this market. Anyway, I go back regularly, and they're friends. In fact, they were next door to where my surgical office was. This doesn't affect surgeons, but about for primary care deliverers and internal medicine offices, family practice. And I ask them all the time. They are ecstatic with the results, and they will tell me to a man, I am a much better physician to my patients and happier than I have ever been by adopting this model. And their actual time demands, their throughput is about half, meaning that they now carry on their books about half the people with whom they can spend. And they, from their standpoint,
It's a win-win. Now, not all their patient populations.
Now, the patients still have to have insurance.
Yeah, they do have it.
Because they're just being treated kind of on the well, you know, as like a well patient, or they diagnose.
Well, if they, if it's stuff they come to the office that they're going to manage, you know, like you have a walking pneumonia and they'll start you on antibiotics and all that.
Yeah, but that kind of, but if it's, but they,
sure,
you still have to have insurance if you break a leg or something like that.
They would have someone who had chest pain and they would refer them to a cardiologist, have a heart cath, and I'd do surgery. And,
you still need to have insurance.
Right.
But for your day-to-day health needs.
You can call them up. There's another person down south who's an absolutely delightful and superb internist over at Los Alamitos. She carries a beeper for her patients personally, and you basically can call her at 2 a.m., and she'll answer the phone just like the old days and say, well, what do you need? And she'll know her patient when they call.
This is what they say Dr. Jill does, is that you can get a hold of her 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yep, and believe me that for good physicians, it's a vocation. It's not a job.
Right.
And they actually enjoy the patient-doctor relationship and the opportunity to be of service and to help. And that's very important to them. And that's what you're looking for, really, as a patient, that kind of relationship. It has been destroyed both by government pieces, government intervention, and then insurance companies, and it became between the doctor and the patient. Originally, insurance started off as something that the patients kept in the back, sort of like your auto insurance. Well, not quite the same thing, but you basically they weren't in the middle of the relationship. It's when they wanted to start doing the all the bills had to go through the insurance companies, and they decide what they'd pay the doctor and if they'd pay them. That's sort of what happened. At one time, you'd get a bill from your doctor, and you'd submit to your insurance company, and they'd reimburse you or a portion of it. So it was the relationship was doctor-patient. The insurance company was stood behind the patient's financial exposure.
Right.
Now, they're right in between, and it has become, I think, a complex and difficult environment. So more power to Jill and to people like her. I think, in truth, now, they're since they're able to spend more quality time and do what's really needed to their patients, the volume of people they're going to see at a given time frame is going to be much less. And that's the challenge as we go forward in healthcare is that how do you basically take the – remember Obamacare was trying to put millions of new people into the healthcare insurance market, again, the insurance company between the doctor and the patient, but there was no money to expand the number of physicians or PAs or nurses in that bill. So we got a problem.
I was going to give that out as a question so I could win a dinner.
Okay. So you could win a dinner?
So you could win a dinner, but you've already given the answer because I was going to say, how much money was in Obamacare in that huge, you know, multi-billion dollar bill was set aside to help build the number of doctors and nurses?
None.
And the answer is none.
Yeah.
There was not $1 put in there, knowing that this was going to bring another 11, 12, 15, they said 20 million, but it's been 11 million people into the system to be able to see doctors,
Remember all the people were already in the system. People weren't being turned away from emergency rooms or hospitals.
No, but I mean,
now they're getting reimbursed.
What I was talking about is getting them into the system so they wouldn't have to go to the emergency rooms.
That's correct.
And so they would be able to see a doctor. Well, the problem with that is doctors were already being overloaded, and then when you put another 11 million people into the system and their payment system isn't the best, then what you have then is when you talk to the emergency rooms, you still got the same numbers, if not more.
In general, that's my impression.
I've talked to doctors and from both emergency rooms, and they're telling me 179 a day?
Mm-hmm.
179? Hey, we got to take a break.
Oh.
179. I know. Well, we've got another half hour.
I hope so.
And then the chief of police comes in here, and you know, isn't it nice when the chief of police walks in right after there's a headline on the record search light that says robberies are up, businesses are getting tired.
Oh.
So you know what? You know, he always walks in on something like that. It's like they know when he's going to be here.
He's a good guy.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by another good person, and that's Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. She started this business 10 years ago on her kitchen table and has grown it into the Reading Business of the Year, and she is the Reading Business Person of the Year at Home Helpers. And why? It's because she cares about her customers. If it's a short period of time, like say, you have that back surgery and you need help around the house, she's got somebody there that can help do the shopping for you, maybe, you know, clean up while you're just laying there trying to get better, just checking on you every day, you know, if you don't have family around, or whether it's long-term in-house care for loved ones who you want to keep in their home as long as possible, and but you need to have somebody there. She's got them all. She personally interviews each one of them. Every one of them is bonded, insured, and trained. Home helpers. Give them a call, 226-8350. You're not going to get any better than that. You're just not going to get any better than Home Helpers and Sharon Clark. 226-8350. Dr. Doug McConnell and I will be right back talking about how Obamacare is failing the masses and what's going to happen on the beginning, on January 1st, the impact it's going to have on your wallet.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Is there anything more relaxing on a warm summer day than your patio? Budget Blinds is locally owned and operated and knows how to make your outdoor space in our area as comfortable as possible. Jerry and the whole Budget Blinds staff offers proper installation of patio shades and exterior window coverings, including solar shades, which can help you save on costly energy bills. Budget Blinds Redding Red Bluff also offers a variety of breathable fabrics and exterior window coverings, including window screens. Don't wait any longer. Give your patio or porch an upgrade with stylish, sturdy patio window coverings. Enjoy shades that gently filter passing breezes while perfectly complementing your outdoor theme. You'll relax on your patio or porch knowing you've got the perfect fit and highest quality service.
My goal for our customer here at Budget Blinds is when we walk out of the house, it's nicer than it was when we walked in. The customer got exactly what they wanted. If you're in need of custom window covering, give Budget Blinds a call today, 226-9027, or visit us on the web, budgetblinds.com.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Like Fistful of Dollars.
Yes.
Oh, Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
You get the silver.
There you go. Good, Bad, and the Ugly. I'm the good. I'll let you two fight it out.
I'm the ugly.
605-4567 is our phone number. We're here with Dr. Doug McConnell. We're going to be talking Obamacare and a couple other things here, but this portion of the show is brought to you by Wellgate Sports Club, part of the three legs of good life, of being healthy, is diet, exercise, and sleep. We've already talked about sleep. Now we're going into exercise. Wellgate Sports Club, located on the corners of Eureka and Court Street. They've got it all there. Great, great trainers. They have a saltwater pool. Linda loves a saltwater pool. Doesn't pull on your ligaments and wear and tear. Bob's on there with his new love, a reclining bike that he puts hundreds of miles on a week. You're in there with lifting with either machines or free weights or elliptical machines, anything you want. Spinning, they've got it all. Plus, Bohem Spa is in there. It is truly a sports club. It's not a gym. It's a club. Give them a call at 768-1205 or just go on down there for a great, great experience. Okay, Dr. Doug McConnell is here with me, and we're talking Obamacare. And first of all, we talked about concierge medicine, how come it's getting so big. Here's a question. But one of the things we point out with Obamacare, they did not put any money in there to alleviate the doctor and nurse shortage. They could have put a billion dollars in there to help pay and get people into medical school, get them through medical school, and have them go into certain fields.
If the only obstruction was cost.
Right. Yeah. If that was, there may be
other reasons.
But here's the question here. Can you ask the doctor his thoughts on the use of physician's assistants in place of doctors? Any increased risk of medical error? And does it dilute the quality of care to the patient for primary care, is what she's talking about?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I'll be glad to answer that because as an Army surgeon, I was introduced to physician assistants in the military, and they arose out of the need for expanding surgeon and physician's presence in the Vietnam War. And these were generally then superbly trained medics who then went to very advanced training and procedures. It's evolved from there quite a bit nationally. And physician assistants generally are well-trained and experienced in their area of expertise, meaning if they're working, and remember the term assistant, means they're really working in conjunction with the physician who's supervising and responsible for their actions. And the licensure is attached to sort of the physician,
right.
Identified physician
supervisor. And that's why they're called assistants. Now, Bob made a real good point, though. They said the physician assistants of today probably know more about medicine and diseases than a doctor did 50 years ago.
Absolutely. And there's many reasons people are physician assistants. My daughter is a physician assistant here in Reading and has worked in various roles, currently in the emergency room at Shasta Regional. She wrestled with a decision to go to medical school as a young lady. She had easily had the grades and the aptitude and capabilities, or basically take a route that was like medical school from a fire hose. I mean, in the 2 years she was a PA student, it was a challenging job. In fact, her medical training, because I was following it with her, was actually better in terms of physical diagnosis than we had at UCLA.
So it's only a two-year program?
It's 2 years after. Well, it's a master's degree. You get your college degree.
It could be in anything, though, right?
Well, to get in, you have to have 2,000 hours of clinical experience in a job prior to applying.
Okay. Thanks for saying that, because now I'm starting to think somebody graduates from college and says, hey, I think I'm going to be a PA, so I'm going to go in and apply and take 2 years of school.
No.
This is after you've already had?
She actually worked in a hospital in a pathology department helping doing
was that
specimens.
While she was going to school?
No, after her graduation from college, she basically applied or was going to apply, and then they said, no, you need to have this position where you know the environment and doctors and people and actually carry out procedures. So
2,000 hours.
Yeah, pretty much a year's work.
Yeah.
And she got a full-time job doing that, and then she reapplied. Now, she could have gone to medical school. The truth is, she is a phenomenal physician, and her mind is superb as a physician. But the licensure is different, but her responsibilities are what the physician supervisor chooses to extend to her in that role.
Okay, now, Shasta minded, when you said, what I said was that they're trained and they have more knowledge of diseases and things from a doctor than a doctor would 50 years ago, only because
30 years ago.
Or 30 years ago. That's what the doctor here is saying. So a two-year degree is better than 7 years of education and training as an MD. You're not saying that.
Her training was so good. I call her up on medical questions, internal medicine questions, because she knows the current stuff. So I'd much rather, in other words, I see her as a new, she's been out of school 3 years, and she knows more internal medicine and nuances of some treatments or dermatologic issues than I follow as a cardiac surgeon.
But it is
They're still assistants. They worked under a physician's guidance.
That's the title and the licensure in this state, and each state varies on that. But in this state, yes, they work with identified physicians. You actually have to sign a paper that I am supervising this physician assistant in this place.
Bob's got one. It's like an engineer versus technician. An engineer can solve design issues, but a technician can change the fuses.
Well, they're beyond that. I mean, she sees patients right in coming off through the emergency room and does the initial evaluation to decide what's really going on here. Then we'll, you know, work with the physician to come up with a treatment plan. And
But it
makes the physician very efficient. See, this is the partnership is one. There are some patients that come in that really it's a pretty slam dunk thing. You know, you come to an ER and you basically have a large splinter that has to be removed under magnification and so forth. She can do that. Or sew up a wound.
Can she do a sucking chest wound?
They're taught to put in chest tubes, absolutely. Now, she's not going to manage the cause of it, but she can certainly be, when that physician is trying to, let's say...
That's what I'm trying to get to
here.
Well,
the physician, okay, what...
We need a physician... I see where physician's assistants are very, very, very important.
Yeah.
But what people are asking here is what I think they're going to is... Because there's such a shortage of doctors,
mm-hmm.
and under Obamacare, when you've got millions of new people in here but no doctors, that they're starting to pass laws right now that nurses, nurse practitioners can now, do abortions. That now is it going to be physician's assistants can, you know,
okay, well,
can do certain thing. You know, I mean, they already can do certain things, but it's going to start expanding out and kind of.
Diluting
yeah. medical care.
Well, just to be clear here, there's two different things we're talking about. Physician assistants have a licensure in the state of California that's attached to physician supervision and linkage, and they can actually do more procedures like closing wounds and lacerations. A nurse practitioner is licensed in the state of California as a separate practitioner and can truly open up their own office
right.
and practice within the bounds that they set as to their area of expertise. So if a nurse practitioner wants to, for example, we've had this for years, midwifery, for example. There were nurse midwives who basically managed women throughout their pregnancy and delivered the children. And the military used those as well. And they were not under necessarily physician supervision, but for that, they were practicing their view of obstetrical nursing and care, and they were doing the entire delivery. They were not doing C-sections. They wouldn't pick up knives and open up. But so we've evolved to what he's really talking about is that we've had to extend the area of traditional responsibility to new formats of practitioners. The nurse practitioner who can be in an office and write her prescriptions and be practicing in her field of expertise, which for primary care, school nursing, other areas of the particular expertise, that can be quite good. And we have nurse practitioners in the town here with whom I've interfaced, and they're quite competent. And PAs, which are going to be working in a doctor's office or in an emergency room or seen as physician extenders. And the quality of their care, be it the nurse, the PA, or the physician themselves, is as good as that individual's commitment, training, and knowledge of their limits. And that's true of doctors as well. I mean, so there are PAs in town I would love to be cared for, and there are probably physicians who wouldn't be the best person to go to, depending on the problem.
Okay, so this is the last thing that we want to say about it, but it
sure.
says is, I think they easily practice outside their scope if not monitored by an intending MD. And
that would be irresponsible by the PA,
right.
and that is a legitimate concern, but generally the attending physicians are, it's important that they and the PA
they
have
don't
that
tell
understanding.
How come they don't tell you they're a PA when they walk in? You know, you're calling them doctor and they don't say anything.
Well, it should be on their badges or their license, and then you can also. But I was a medical student. I was called doctor too as a third year medical.
Yeah,
student.
No, but you were. But I'm just talking about now.
Well, but as a third year medical,
it's only later you find out it's a PA, which is fine. I don't care. You know what? I'm used to meatball surgery out there in the service.
Yeah.
And I know about physician's assistants and all this. Okay, let's move on from this because
okay.
I think physician's assistants are so important as are nurse practitioners, and I like what you said. It extends the doctor's ability to take care of more people.
And I think it's important to recognize that nurse practitioners are now being recognized as practicing their own.
Right. And that's Linda C's a nurse practitioner.
And it's an extension
right.
of healthcare providing, which is a broad industry.
Which we need
it's not
because,
just doctors.
Because
we need
after the break, we need to talk about Obamacare
and the huge devastating impact this next year is going to have.
Yes.
All right, we'll be right back with Dr. Doug McConnell talking medical problems we're going to have with Obamacare, and then the Reading Chief of Police, Rob Poletti, will be joining us at 8 o'clock.
Your new place. It's so stylish.
Okay, I'll let you in on a little secret. I get all my furniture at the Home Consignment Depot.
Really? This dining set? The entertainment center? The sofa?
Yeah, and all the accessories and art, too.
The Home Consignment Depot? Where are they located?
They're at 1313 Hartnell Avenue, between Churn Creek and Victor. You know, next to Signorama. They've got quality furniture for the home and office at prices you can afford. It's definitely the spot to shop for furniture, with new arrivals daily. And they offer an excellent consignment service.
Consignment? How does it work?
It's easy. They sell your quality furniture and send you a check. I receive more for mine than if I sold it myself, without the hassles and costs of running an ad.
They sell your quality furniture and accessories and send you the check?
Right. They also offer a pickup and delivery service. They accept all forms of payment, and they're open 7 days a week.
That's good to know.
If I were you, I'd visit their showroom today, or call 722-0635, the Home Consignment Depot. It's definitely the spot to shop.
Hey, hon, guess what I found out today?
I'm all ears.
Well, my windshield wiper fluid ran out today, so I stopped by Premier Oil Change for a free top-off.
Yeah?
As one of the technicians was filling the wiper fluid, another came over and told me I was due for an oil change, which is cool, but get this. He said I had more than enough reward points, so my oil change was free.
Free? Did we sign up for something?
Nope. Premier doesn't require that we sign up. We're just regular customers that drive a lot, and Premier does all the fluid maintenance on our cars, so we build up points automatically.
Wow. Who knew? Free fluid top-offs, reward points that accumulate each time we do required maintenance? Dang, suddenly I feel really smart.
Okay, smart guy. With the money I just saved you, can you take me out to dinner?
That's the second best idea you've had today.
Learn more about rewards the next time you stop by or go to our website at PremierOilChange.com in the Palace Cedars Shopping Center and on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations get you a free car wash with every oil change. Home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
The goodies, the gadgets, the gizmos. Every week, Boomer Tech Radio talks about the innovations and the developments in technology that are impacting your life. Hi, it's Bob Belongi, and for the past 6 years, Brenda and I have brought you the tech news you can really use. Sponsored by Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. It's analog living in a digital world on Boomer Tech Radio, heard noon to two Saturdays or streaming anytime on KCNR 1460.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. With Carl Bott and Dr. Doug McConnell's my wingman today. It's 72 degrees, going up to 103 today. 605-4567 is our phone number. Weather reports always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, 365-3793. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, has it all. Has every type of jewelry you could possibly imagine. Heavy into the estate jewelry, but they have it all there. Design, build, any type of jewelry. Go in there. They have the only trained watch repair guy in the whole area is right there at Four Winds Jewelry. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 4:30, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Give them a call, 222-2750. Dr. Doug McConnell here is with me, and let's rip into Obamacare because this coming year is going to be, we've got big insurance companies are pulling out, and there's big going to be raises.
Well, I don't really want to be an alarmist, but I think we have to be a realist, too. And as they say in the amusement park ride, keep your hands and arms inside and keep the seatbelts fastened at all times. In truth, 2017 in California, in our own exchange here, the rates are weighted mean average going up well over 12%. after about a 10% the previous year.
So that's 22% in 2 years.
Approximately. And then if you really look at nationally, the pictures are that United Healthcare, which is the largest healthcare insurer in the United States, it's no longer going to sell exchange plans in New Jersey in 2017, and it's withdrawn from 27 states in terms of the exchange market. Now, the exchanges, if you remember, were each state was offered the opportunity to set up a state-run exchange and or have subsidized not-for-profit co-ops, or the federal government would set that up. And a number of states elected to do that. California did with something called Covered California, which has been a moderate effective. I mean, at least it had enrollment, but it was heavily subsidized, over $1 billion in startup costs. It's got executives and offices and outreach people and phone banks and all the usual stuff, plus heavy marketing budgets. But, you know, they had a number of providers. Next year there's only going to be three choices of providers in the state, and the rates are up 12%. I did look.
United Healthcare pulled out, right?
Well, actually, I think United Healthcare may have one in California, and then there's Humana.
There was one big one that pulled out.
Blue Cross Blue Shield. Oh, they have. I haven't tracked all the ones that have come out. But the point is, nationally, you're seeing that there's 23 state-run exchanges. I'm trying to look at my notes here. Yeah, of the 13 of the 23 state-sponsored co-op health plans, which are a little different than the exchange, have failed, meaning they go bankrupt. And there's supposed to be – there's a way for the government originally in the original legislation to get back the money they used to start these businesses. They've recouped nothing. So it's basically been a black hole for basically co-op exchanges in 13 states.
And it's done nothing for their health care.
Well, at this point, the people who had signed up and had care through a certain date all of a sudden are told, I'm sorry, we're going out of business. You have to find another plan. And several of these plans, like two in Oregon, basically the state insurance commissioner basically had to say this is no longer a valid economically stable entity, so you must stop selling plans as of a certain date, which, by the way, is your revenue. So if you no longer can sell plans, you have no revenue, and their medical costs were exceeding their revenue. So they're all technically bankrupt, and the insurer has to shut them down. You can't be allowing somebody as a co-op, a not-for-profit
co-op. This is a dead duck.
These are not-for-profits.
We ought to have a quacking sound. This is another thing we need. We need a cheering sound and a quacking sound, because when it's going quack, 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 that means it's dead, a dead duck.
Well, here also in Alabama and Alaska, just two states, quite different in the United States and makeup and so forth, but each of those had seven insurers practicing health care insurance in those states prior to the onset of what we've come to call Obamacare, or the Accountable Care Act, Affordable Care Act, excuse me.
There is no accountability.
Not accountable. Yeah. That was a slip. Next year, each of those states have just one insurer. The whole state.
One insurer. Okay. Yeah. So, who's being helped here? Is it the insurance companies being helped here?
Well, initially when it came out, basically the if you've got to realize in California, if you're 55 and married to you and your wife, the fee for this year's silver plan, which is a modest plan with pretty big deductibles, is about $1,280 a month in the state, of which you only pay $400. You and I and other taxpayers pay the insurance company the other $800+. That's called the tax credit, and that you get
if you're age 55.
Yeah, and it varies by zip code and age and the cost of your insurance. But the point is that for many people, most of the insurance premium that's being collected by the insurance company is really coming directly from the federal government. Which is interesting. It's not coming out of the insurer. So it's a bizarre market. What it is subsidized insurance market for those making X percent of
or less money.
It's well,
based on what they say.
$5,000 is it's a salary.
Okay. You said I'm not 55 years of age. I'm sorry.
No. Well, 55. $5,000, 55-year-old male.
Okay.
Will be subsidized $800 a month for his health insurance. He has to pay for
what if you make $58,000?
No, at 65, you get no insurance. So, in truth is, you're getting an $800 a month subsidy at age 55, at making $55,000. If you get a $10,000 raise, it costs you money because you lose $9,600 worth of subsidy because you've just gotten a raise. And you now have to pay tax on that extra $10,000.
So you'll be losing money on your insurance.
So we have built a system that is a negative incentive for promotion or excellence into the middle class. And it's bizarre, but that's true in California. You can go look to Covered California and run the numbers yourself and prove it to yourself. But what I'm getting at is that across the nation, the insurers are pulling back what looked good when the legislation was proposed, which looks like heavily subsidized health care, so everybody could buy it. So if you're trying to sell policies, you make money in the policy. You're going to make the same profit whether it's coming $400 from the payer, from the patient, and $800 from the government. You got $1,200. That's a new market. You're very subsidized. But now they're finding out that those rates, given the new demands on the policies, meaning no pre-existing illness, have to cover everybody anytime, you know, in the year, that you're going to lose money. They are all losing money on their exchange business, as best as I can tell. And my reference on this is Sally Pipes at the Pacific Research Institute, and she's been writing heavily on this subject for years. So basically, the title of this most recent article I came just preparing for you, thanks, my Carl, is Obamacare is failing, hyphen, on purpose, question mark. Which brings me back to a lecture I gave here at the Lincoln address in about 2013. And I quoted a Stanford professor who in 2011 stated, "You will find out what the political purpose is of this Obamacare early on when you see when they set the penalties for not signing up. If they're very low..."
They want people not to sign up.
If you remember, the secret of making this work at the exchange level was to herd people like my healthy young son, who rode for Cornell and varsity crew, herd him out of the area of catastrophic $120 a month insurance into paying $200-$300 for this by having penalties. The penalties were set at $90 or some minimal percent of your income if you didn't pay it. Tiny. They've risen, but they're not enough to really get the invincibles, the young, healthy folks, to sign up. So people have been dodging the exchanges, I guess. But ultimately, the insurance companies were promised this pool of healthy non-users into their pools. That's how they based their rates. You know?
Yeah.
And they haven't shown up.
Because they're charging them too much. I mean, they're getting charged, you know, like you said, thousands.
That's correct. And, yeah.
Okay. So... everybody says we're going, you know, so it leads us to a single payer.
Well, it creates a catastrophe or a crisis. And you got to remember, in the government, crises can often be...
So what's wrong with a single payer system?
Well, okay. I mean, frankly, half of my patients are Medicare. Well, it's pretty much Medicare reimbursement in my field over the last 12 years has decreased by 70% for cardiac surgery.
Okay.
So physicians are now taking Medicare sort of as, well, it's part of what we do to stay alive.
So but so you're saying if it was a single payer, we only got a few minutes here, that single payer system is that they control then how much physicians are being paid.
Oh, they dictate exactly. I can make up a bill for whatever I want.
What if they pay physicians a fair market value for their services?
Well, then it could work. I mean, the truth is, I mean, basically, physicians want to basically do well for their patients and be in business, but they want to be successful and pay their overhead.
If they're going to pay physicians what they're worth and pay their overhead, a single payer system, then, and they're taking care of all the people in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
The drawback to that is,
well, first off, in my field, the number of people entering cardiac surgery training programs over the last years has
we're also going to have them be debt free when they finish college.
But they've already messed up the supply chain. It takes 8 years to recover. You can put all the money you want in healthcare, but you can't create new cardiac surgeons within a short time.
So we're training that, or we're bringing people in. I think the one thing, because you're looking at all of these things that Hillary's talking about, you know, debt-free tuition, which and I'd like to see that plan, but
there's no such thing as free education.
Well, they're saying they pay up to a certain point, and then uh-huh. they're subsidized. I think the bottom line on this is, we could do all of these things, but the cost of doing this is astronomical, and you just have to look at Europe and see how much they're paying. Your take-home pay shrinks to, like, you know, 30% of what it used to be.
Well, the government tried to offer free loans to college students after I was in college, and the tuition costs in this country have just shot up. I was able to save $800 my summer before I started college. That covered two-thirds of the tuition costs at Stanford University for the next year.
$800?
$800. It was $1,200 to go to college
You know, and that's a completely different subject.
I mean,
the fact of why it's exploded like that
because
the federal government got into
came
it.
Came in and gave people loan money. And they've done that to health care as well. So the government actually raises the cost of health care when it's involved.
The government right now is aiming everybody into the single-payer system with colleges paid for, and they just this whole thing is becoming a will become a true socialist society if we continue, and if you let Hillary Clinton come in, this is the next step, and then after her will be somebody else. I mean, it's just going to happen, but we have to run.
Oh, I'm sorry, because
on this I know, but we've got the chief of police coming in. You're still going to be here.
Well, I will be, and I'm looking forward to it.
There
thank
we go.
You come on, you all come back.
We'll be right back after the news here.
KCNR Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump is repeating that his comments about Second Amendment supporters were not a call to incite violence against Hillary Clinton. Appearing on the Salem Radio Network, he said it was a call to unite voters at the polls.
We're talking about the power of the voter, and the voter does have tremendous power, and the Democrats want to decimate the Second Amendment. They want to literally decimate it. And if they get in, they are going to decimate it.
Coming up later today in Michigan, Hillary Clinton will discuss her economic plan. No major new policies are expected, but she intends to try to make the case that Trump's agenda would benefit him and his wealthy friends. A terror suspect in Canada is dead after a police operation last night in southern Ontario. Police say they thwarted a suicide bombing when they killed suspect Aaron Driver. Speaking on CTV, Alan Bell with Globe Risk International said authorities seem to have good intelligence.
We've been very, very lucky because this could have been a really bad attack.
The Canadian man was previously banned from associating with ISIS extremists. A Syrian military official is denying allegations of a chlorine gas attack against the contested city of Aleppo. The official says that militants fabricated the news and says the Syrian army would never use chemical weapons. Several people this morning still unaccounted for following an apartment fire last night in Silver Spring, Maryland, as well as a collapse of a building. Fire crews were sent to the scene just before midnight. The blaze injured 30 people and 3 firefighters. The family of dirt track racer Brian Clausen says his organs have been donated to 5 other people. Clausen died in Nebraska last weekend after a crash at a race in Kansas. Wall Street, the Dow up 106 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-423-4557. That's 1-800-423-4557. 1-800-423-4557. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health insurance company and other factors not available in all states.
While Americans are cheering U.S. athletes in the Summer Games, the Vice President of the International Olympic Committee, John Coates, says financial and political issues have made the Rio Olympics the most difficult so far.
John Coates said the economic and political situation in Brazil had made life very difficult, and without the unstinting support of the city's mayor, the situation would have been much worse. He was disappointed that a promise to distribute unsold tickets to poorer communities and children doesn't appear to have happened, and admitted the IOC is facing problems on a daily basis.
That report from the BBC's Alex Capstick. Last night at the Olympics, American Katie Ledecky won a 3rd gold medal as she anchored a relay swim, and the U.S. men's basketball team faced a serious test on the court before beating Australia 98-88. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Greg Clugston. The serial killer known as the Grim Sleeper has been sentenced to death for the murders of 9 women and a teenage girl that went unsolved for years. Anitra Washington, who survived a gunshot wound inflicted by Lonnie Franklin Jr., likened him to notorious killer Charles Manson.
I feel he was like a Black Manson, and he's done such a harm to our community.
Lonnie Franklin Jr. avoided suspicion for decades, working as an L.A. trash collector and at one time a garage attendant for the L.A. police. Police believe Franklin may have had as many as 25 victims. The International Monetary Fund says it has signed an initial agreement with Egypt to loan that country $12 billion over 3 years. The IMF says the loan comes in support of the government's program to reform the economy. I'm Greg Clugston. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Gosh, today, somebody took...
I so protect you from yourself.
You sure do. What happened to my little yellow pad I have here to write notes on? Did I just not bring it with me? Okay, today is the 11th of August. 11th of August today. And we have with us Dr. Doug McConnell, who is my wingman today, flying in because Trisha's on leave and Linda is still up in the mountains where it's cold up there. They had a fire in a fireplace and they're sleeping in flannel pajamas and all those things. She and the girls.
They're having up there
and there's a fishing camp going on at the same time. They're up there at Antelope Springs and they're not fishing, but they're having a good time watching the kids up there fishing too. So it's 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock. Bob, tell us what's going on weather-wise.
Sunny skies and triple digits for the next 10 days at least. Light winds, high fire danger, so please be aware of that. Overnight lows will be in the mid to upper 60s. Not seeing a break at least for the next 10 days. It'll go back down to around 100. Only in Redding can you say that.
Oh, boy. Hey, it's chilling out today, man. It's chilling today.
But highs will be ranging between 101 and 105. Great weather to wear Kevlar in. Right now it is 42 feet from the top of the dam out at Shasta, and this all brought to you by...
What's the temperature right now?
I'm waiting for it to update, about 75.
So 75, okay. 75 going up to 103 today. Weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call, 365-3793, a veteran-owned business. Now, it's going to go up to 103 today. Now, I know that it's been in the 90s, so it's been balmy, literally balmy out here. But don't leave anything carbon-based in your car or truck. Not in the back of the truck, not inside the truck bed that gets hot, too. It'll die. Don Steck has got a great commercial where he puts thermometers in cars. Yes. The gold car, it gets up to, or the lighter colored car, it only goes up like 30 degrees, and it starts at 100. It only goes up to like 120 in 10 minutes. Then a brown car, a little bit darker car, goes up to like 130 in 10 minutes. And the last one was hot enough to cook a hamburger. In other words, the temperature in there is the same temperature as a cooked hamburger. So imagine that, leaving a child in that car. Or an animal in that car. So, and we're here with Redding Police Chief Rob Paletti. Have you had many calls on that? He just brought out his tool that they used to break windows.
You know, the fact of the matter is, if you leave your child in the car and we can't find you, we're going to break the window.
Yes.
And we're going to remove the child from the
car. Wasn't there somebody just arrested not too long ago here in town?
Not in town, but, parents are responsible for the safety of their children. And if you lock your kid in a hot car and they're you're jeopardizing their safety, then you're endangering that child, and that becomes a criminal act. So
what about an animal?
Cruelty to animals is a much more difficult thing to get prosecuted, but if it's the dog's life or your window, I'm taking out your window.
And you can also call Haven Humane, because they've got these. Do you have these thermometers you can look inside the cars? It doesn't make any difference to you. If there's a person inside that car and there's nobody there,
That's an emergency.
Yeah, we don't. We don't issue them to the police officers, but Haven Humane will respond to us for us and do that. Matter of fact, I was at a meeting the other day at the Red Lion, and hey, I walked outside because the Haven Humane truck was out there, and it was 120-something in the car, and the poor little puppy was locked in there. And so I walked back into the meeting, and I said, "Who's got this car?" And a guy stood up, and we walked outside, and I told him that, you know, you need to get your dog out of the car, or otherwise I'm going to remove it from the car. And he decided that it was more prudent to remove his puppy from the car than to have me do it with my baton. So, you know, it really is a matter of think about the safety of your animals. Don't underestimate how hot a car will get, because anybody that lives in Redding or anywhere that's hot that goes out and figures out that it takes 15 minutes for your air conditioner to cool your car down, just go sit in your car for a while. You want to lose some weight? You want to do a sauna? You know, save the gym fee and go sit in your car in the heat and
I love the signs I see, and there's a dog inside a car, and there's a sign next to it. The air conditioning's on, and he's listening to Boss Skaggs. He's happy, you know. And the dog's there with the wind blowing him. Okay, Rob, front page news. Front page. I don't know why it always is that when you walk in, it's, you know. And so we shifted your day to today from Wednesday. And so they shifted the headline over to today that Reading business owners tired of robberies. And the example was this one lady who's got a, I think it's a secondhand store or a gently used store, has been robbed. And she's been thinking about it because these guys come in a lot. She's next to a liquor store. Those people,
bless you.
Excuse me. Those people are ready for security. I mean, they're security minded. So the robber walks there, sees how tough it is, just walks next door for an easier target. And then the rest of the story talked about how these private security teams are, you know, they're being called. Their number of times they're being called is like over double, almost triple what it usually is to go to a place to get somebody out of there. You're facing this every day.
Mm-hmm.
But when I talked to you about it earlier, you had a pretty good response, I thought.
Well, you know, we've had several, you know, robberies over the last few weeks, much more so than we're used to seeing. And these are legitimate, you know, bank robberies. And
guys with guns.
And so, you know, we had 2 in 3 hours, one of a thrift store and one of a bank. And we got both of those guys in custody really quick. We had the two, you know, juveniles that beat up the guy and tried to take his bike on the river trail. We have them in custody. We had the bank robbery of Cypress Street, the bank on Cypress. That guy's in custody. With the exception of the two juveniles that just, you know, need to straighten themselves out and stop, because there were other crimes that we charged them with other than just that one. The common theme is addiction. You know, the guy that was robbing banks, he's a gambling addict. We don't see that often, but he was on a gambling spree or a bank robbery spree from here to Vegas to go gambling. And but, you know, the other two were heroin addicts. And, you know, we've been talking about this, you know, rise in heroin usage, and you can, you know, blame the medical industry for overprescription of opiate painkillers, or you can, you know, talk about the economy and lack of jobs and people's mental illness that they're self-treating. You know, the causes are multitude there, but two of those, and most of the ones that we're seeing that are committing burglaries, thefts, and now robberies, are addicted to heroin, and they've got to have that drug every 4 to 6 hours. The withdrawal from that addiction is extremely, extremely painful. They're extremely, extremely desperate. And, you know, for what? How long have we been talking about this now, Carl?
Day you walked in here, I mean, literally the first day, because I checked it, the first time you stepped in and sat down here, you said, "I'm worried about this rising heroin, you know, addiction." And you said this, what, four, how long have you been here?
About
4 years?
4.5 years.
Four and a half years. And you said that even though nobody else was saying it. And you said, "Yeah, we have a huge meth problem here." And that was the big thing. But you said that the heroin problem was on the rise. Well, now we're here.
Yeah.
We've got it. We've got black tar coming up here from the
From Mexico.
I mean, we got a straight shot. It's cheap, or was cheap. But for a heroin addict has to make $300 or $400 a day, though, right?
Well, it's about $100 a day, $100 to $150 a day. But if you don't have a job, how are you going to get that money? And if you've got, you know, an addiction to such a destructive, you know, substance as heroin, it's hard to continue to function in your normal daily life and things. So, you know, there's We are still going to hold people accountable for their criminal behavior. We're going to arrest them. We're going to take them to jail, and the criminal justice system can do what they need after that. But I think that we really need to look at, you know, different strategies to bring things to Reading that can assist in specifically the heroin addiction.
We need to take a break. And you and I have talked about this, and I think this is important that we bring this out. We've got Terry's on the phone. We'll get to Terry right after these messages. This portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. I've been bragging about them now for a straight week. I can't say anything more about them except if you're not calling Alliance Heating and Air, then you are making a mistake. What can I say? I'm not saying that the other ones aren't good, solid companies. What I'm saying is better-known business, Alliance Heating and Air, is the best. We use them all the time. They came in, and when they said that we're going to fix it, they redid the whole system, pushed for it, got it okayed from the insurance company. They came in, and it has made a tremendous difference in our house. I can't say enough about Alliance Heating and Air. 221-2642, or check out their website at homecomfort.org. Tell Martin, tell anybody in there, tell them that Carl and Linda sent you to call because we're happy. We'll be right back with Reading Police Chief Rob Play.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
You know, Powerhouse Solar has been a local family-owned business since 2003, and solar is all they do.
Solar, electric, battery backup, hybrid systems, and pool solar so you can swim more months of the year.
Solar energy saves you money every month, and they have financing options available. Just give them a call for a free estimate. It's 275-5600, or visit their website at powerhousesolar.com.
They sell the best quality solar products from SunPower. SunPower has the highest efficiency panel in the world with the best warranty in the industry, 25 years bumper to bumper.
Powerhouse Solar offers a lifetime warranty for workmanship and installation to the original owner at the original location. So check out Solar. May be able to reduce your electricity costs and help save the environment.
Give them a call, 275-5600. Like SunPower, Powerhouse Solar has an A+ Better Business Bureau rating.
Check out their third-party customer reviews at powerhousesolar.com. Then call 275-5600 for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Have you ever had your vehicle in a shop for a collision repair? When you called to check on it, did no one seem to know anything about it? Don Seck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Did you feel like a number when you were given canned rhetoric or generalization not specific to your vehicle? Although we are recognized as an authority in frame and suspension repair, we are primarily an auto body and truck collision repair center. When you select Coachmaster, we will tell you exactly how we are going to repair your vehicle. You will know the person in charge and get direct answers to your questions and follow-up phone calls, because every vehicle is personal to us. With our knowledge of the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to get started quickly. A reputation for excellent service and high-quality repairs takes years to build, and we intend to keep it. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Reading, California.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
I have to watch you guys like a hawk.
Yeah, you're right. We're just impetuous. We're impetuous. That's the word. So impetuous.
Impetuous.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Dr. Doug McConnell.
It is 19 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock here. It's 76 degrees out there, going up to 103. They're letting, Bob was just talking to someone online, they're letting out 10,000 feet per second out of Shasta.
About 9,100 cubic feet per second is all going through the powerhouse of Shasta. And somebody was very upset because the gates at Keswick were open and letting water out. Well, if it's coming out of Shasta, it has to go somewhere.
Right. Well, okay. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Budget Blinds. Yeah, Jerry came over the other day and showed us how to cool our house off even more. And I tell you what, after fighting this battle of the of heat and having a wall, you know, you've heard of the wall of sound. I have the wall of windows, which is even though they're double paned and tinted, it's still the heat comes through there like you can't believe. So we're going to get blinds. And Jerry came over and told us, you know, laid it out exactly. You can't ask for more than that. If you want somebody to come over and put blinds up that work with your budget and everything, give him a call at 226-89027 or visit them on the web at budgetblinds.com. Okay. We're here with Dr. McConnell, and I are here with Doug, and I are here with Radon Police Chief Rob Paletti. Let's go to the phones. Terry.
Hey, guys. You know, hey, Carl, I just want to – Budget Blinds is good, too. You throw that in with the air conditioning company and your house is cool.
That's it. That's what I said.
You bet.
Yep. Except
anyway, yeah, there's a couple of
it's never that cool. But
what, buddy?
It's going to never be that cool when it's 115 out, but okay.
Well, there's a couple of quick things I wanted to bring up, and I can hear you okay, and I will try not to talk over you, but I need to get a couple of things out so that the chief has this information, if that's all right.
It's okay.
On the 11th of July, we had Tom Basinko into our Patriots meeting. We had around 150 people. At that time, we were talking about Second Amendment rights, what was going on with some of the new the violent crimes that are now people who are going to be released in this next new round, which is 45 to 47,000 criminals. On July the 13th, that Wednesday, we had a meeting in Cottonwood with the Cottonwood Community Watch, and there were 350 people, and the sheriff came to that also. Because what they're doing is patrolling their own area, and constitutionally they can do that. On Monday night, we had well over 100 people at the Patriot meeting, and the gentleman of Community Watch, Woody Clendenin, and several other of the guys came in and talked to us about patrols, how to protect ourselves, and what we need to do. First of all, the police can't protect us, and frankly, because of a Supreme Court case called Wayne versus D.C., and Chief, because of Government Code 821, 845, and 846, it isn't even your duty to protect us, no matter if we give you 5,000 police officers. And I can give you the findings of that very briefly if you want to know. Your duty is to investigate crimes after they've happened. People are frustrated. That's why you have less people coming to your community things, because nothing's being done. Yes, your guys are running from call to call. That's understood. But by the same token, there's people who are being robbed every day. We had two robberies in our neighborhood in the mail, which we had to fend off. And one lady who is a widow actually was attacked in her yard. And thank God that my neighbor was there helping her with her yard work to fend the guy off. This happens on a daily basis. It doesn't matter what happens until the people take it into their own hands and start a community watch that actually makes some sense. Calling the police doesn't work all the time. And the Supreme Court ruled that.
So is this just a statement you're making, or is this...
No, what he's talking about is a strategy. The strategy is community watches with community patrols.
Okay, I got it.
People in the neighborhood driving around.
Okay.
And basically, that's because Wagner versus D.C., okay, which is a Supreme Court case, there were a couple of gals that were in a condominium with another gal. Two men broke in. They raped one gal and beat her. The other two gals hid upstairs. They didn't hear any noise. They came downstairs, and while they were upstairs, they made several calls to 911. When they came back downstairs, they were raped and beaten, made more calls to 911, and the police never showed up. Because what was happening is that I guess the police were overwhelmed, for one thing. That must have been the reason. But the Supreme Court ruled that the duty is to investigate crimes, and under Code Section 821, 845, and 846, that isn't your responsibility other than to investigate. And they said the reason that
I
was their ruling is because you don't have the capacity to protect the citizens.
No, they don't.
We need community watches and people with that.
Always talk about people taking responsibility, right? Okay, so your question is, why don't we have organized community watches?
Yes, and people that would have pepper spray, people that would have things like that. And I'm saying that because this is actually working in Cottonwood. And it's starting to work in other communities in the area. And there are some sheriffs that are for this. Now, I'm not talking about vigilantism. I'm not talking about any of that. And, Chief, I know it's public record that you're not for CCWs because you said that at a city council meeting.
I've never said that.
Well, you did. You said that you didn't believe that the people had the proper training. That's exactly what you said. And you believe that that people don't go through enough training to have proper responsibility of a firearm. That's what you said.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
Never once.
Yeah, you did.
Terry, what I said was that when we respond on an active shooter, that CCWs can complicate the mission of the police because we don't know who is legally the threat then and who is legally carrying a firearm. So what I said was that my thoughts on CCWs when it comes to active shooters are mixed because an active shooter could end a active shooter before we even get there. But when my officers respond, it is a pointed mission. Find threat, eliminate threat. If I have one guy with a gun, it's very easy to see who that threat is. When there's five, it complicates the mission. That's what I said.
Okay, so the question is why isn't the chief advocating and pushing the number of... All right, thanks, Terry.
Yeah, we need community watches. I mean, it's working in Cottonwood.
Okay, that's what we'll talk about. All right.
Well, and we have increased the number of neighborhood watches that we have. The neighborhood watches are, you know, actively looking in their neighborhoods and looking to solve problems in their neighborhoods. I think that, you know, I'm not an expert on what they're doing in Cottonwood. That is the sheriff's jurisdiction. We want them to observe and report to us. But I think that, you know, what that court case, and I'll go read it, Terry, so that you and I can have a discussion when you want to. And you know, I love Terry. We can disagree and be Italian and wave our arms and scream. But I think the police have more responsibility than just to investigate afterwards. I think we have a responsibility to deter and try to find solutions to community problems. And that is the basis of community policing, to scan, analyze, respond, assess problems, and try to solve them at the root causal level. Your contention is that the police can become completely reactionary. And I think we've shown with the neighborhood police unit how successful proactive policing can be. And problem solving at that level with, you know, cases like the Reading Inn, proactive cases from a code enforcement perspective that deal with places like the Americana. And our officers out being proactive and looking for criminals that once they take place is the result of the arrests that we make on a daily basis and the fact that we are catching the thieves very quickly. You know, when you have two robberies in 3 hours, that's cops out proactively looking for that criminal.
You're not against community policing community watches by any means.
No.
You have people assigned to that, right?
In fact, my wife and I have attended meetings in our own neighborhood with usually Reading police officers who are there for part of the meeting, often in the organizational phase. So they've been quite helpful and made some awareness. I do think Terry's talking about a more active type of patrol, and I must say I was in Dallas on my cross-country trip, so we got a chance to sort of see inner cities around the country. And they actually had bike patrol folks who were basically in the tourist area with communications capability to police. And they were very present with bikes and yellow shirts and so forth. And it was very interesting. They aren't police, and they don't pretend to be, but they had a presence.
In Cottonwood, they have the regular patrols that go around in the neighborhoods and all this, I think. I think that was one of the guys that shot into the ground. I'm not sure, but I think that was one of the guys there.
I was impressed in Dallas.
But it's working in Cottonwood.
They had this extension piece of folks, and they... I'm not sure what their training had been, but they helped tourists and all that. But they also were part of the communications network for eyes and ears.
Right. And you know, a lot of police departments have it, volunteers in police service.
Yes.
Sheriffs have STARS. Where my concern has been with that is that as the leader of the organization, I'm responsible for their safety. Mm-hmm. And right now, if, you know, in a criminal situation or a police-type situation, you can go from 0 to 150 miles an hour, you know, at the blink of an eye.
Yes.
And what's my ability to respond quickly to protect them? So, you know, that's where my concern has been with a sponsored, you know, program like that. Dallas Police Department is, I want to say they're they're big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you look at New York Police Department, you know, everyone hails Bratton as the king of killing crime and the police chief. But, you know, he's working with...
And that was being very proactive by stopping people on the street, frisking and all this, which they ended under the new
mayor. He's got like 2.6 officers per 1,000 residents in the city of New York. He had over 2 officers per 1,000 residents in the city of L.A. when he was chief. And right here, we're sitting at 1 officer per 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you give assets and you allow police to be more proactive. You know, one of the things that we talk about is, what is the deterrent factor of having a police officer be able to patrol a neighborhood? You can't measure crimes that don't take place.
No, that's
But what's
correct.
That deterrent factor? And right now, the fact of the matter is, unless there's a call for service, they're not in your neighborhood.
Okay. Let's take a break here. This portion of the show, we're here with Doug McConnell, Dr. Doug McConnell, of course, and Reading Police Chief Rob Poletti. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, veteran-owned business, open 7 days a week with great coffees and other drinks at Espresso Joe's and the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California, right there with a walk-in humidor that is just filled with fantastic smokes. All this at Tobacco and Brew. Veterans get discounts at Espresso Joe's. Open 7 days a week, 2143 Hilltop Drive. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Wow, I love your new place. It's so stylish.
Okay, I'll let you in on a little secret. I get all my furniture at the Home Consignment Depot.
Really? This dining set? The entertainment center? The sofa?
Yeah, and all the accessories and art, too.
The Home Consignment Depot? Where are they located?
They're at 1313 Hartnell Avenue, between Churn Creek and Victor. You know, next to Signorama. They've got quality furniture for the home and office at prices you can afford. It's definitely the spot to shop for furniture, with new arrivals daily. And they offer an excellent consignment service.
Consignment? How does it work?
It's easy. They sell your quality furniture and send you a check. I received more for mine than if I sold it myself, without the hassles and costs of running an ad.
They sell your quality furniture and accessories and send you the check?
Right. They also offer a pickup and delivery service. They accept all forms of payment, and they're open 7 days a week.
That's good to know.
If I were you, I'd visit their showroom today, or call 722-0635, the Home Consignment Depot. It's definitely the spot to shop.
Come on down to the Air Force Memorial Show and Shine at the Anderson River Park Moose Grove on Saturday, September 24th from 10 till 2 p.m. This end-of-summer blowout event is free to the public and features your favorite Porsches, Corvettes, Mini Coopers, exotic supercars, and cars from the British Car Club. And be sure to get your mouth-watering tri-tip dinner for just $12. All proceeds support the Air Force Memorial Project. See you there.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore with the NorCal Sports Hour. Tune in every Tuesday at 6 here on KCNR 1460 for all things Warriors, Kings, A's, Giants, Niners, and Raiders, as well as all your local high school standouts. Get your NorCal Sports Fix every Tuesday at 6 on the NorCal Sports Hour here on KCNR 1460 and KCNR1460.com.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 with Carl Bott. Dr. Doug McConnell is my wingman today. Both my girls are gone. 605-456-7 is our phone number. We are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. 76 degrees right now, going up to 103. Weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off of Athens Avenue.
So when the girls leave, you bring in McConnell and Paletti?
There you go. You know, and we all play.
I guess we know where we rank.
That's right. And we're all going to go down to the Classic Cafe after this and have chipped beef on toast. well, you're the heart surgeon. You can fix this afterwards.
Yes.
Cypress Square Barbershop, I tell you what, can't say enough about it. Man's last stronghold, better known business, greatest haircuts ever. If you're going to get a haircut, if you don't go there, then I feel sorry for you. I just do.
But you got to have hair.
Well, with you, they charge a hunting fee.
Okay.
There, they find the hair first, then they cut it.
Very good.
All the police go there, better anybody. And, like I said, man's last stronghold. Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue. And if you were here yesterday, you heard me change from after starting that live read with Cypress Square Barbershop and changing it right into Tobacco and Brew halfway through the commercial. Don't ask me how I did that, but Bob is rolling on the floor. He was saying, I didn't know what you were doing at this point, and he couldn't reach over far enough to slap me. Anyway, we're here with Reading Police Chief Rob Paletti and Dr. Doug McConnell. Big problem is heroin.
Huge.
Huge problem. There is a solution out there.
Well, I think there's
possibly
a potential solution. There are, you know, and this is, you know, something that could be a little bit, you know, controversial by some because of the way they were formatted in the 80s and 90s. But there are treatment centers for those with heroin and opioid addictions with methadone. Buproxen, I think, is the name of the. There's like six different, you know, chemicals that they can treat the addiction with. There is a treatment center in Chico. Donnell Ewert, the Health and Human Services Director, and I have been, you know, in conversation with them about the interest in opening a clinic in Reading. But I did ask them some tough questions, you know, before I'm willing to say that I think this is a good idea. You know, how often does the Chico Police Department respond to your treatment center? Because, you know, when I was in Stockton, the one was in a strip mall and it wasn't managed very well, and I had some concerns. The answer to that is 26 times, mostly when one of their patients is suicidal and they need help getting that person into, you know, crisis stabilization. Otherwise, it's you know, there was a vehicle fire in front of the building or traffic accidents or traffic stops and a lot of things that aren't really related to how well they're managing and practicing their business. They set them up like medical offices now because if you think about addiction as a medical service and a, you know, I'm police chief and I'm Italian and I like to argue with Terry. So, you know, I take high blood pressure medication and I'm probably going to take it for the rest of my life. So if you think about this as a medical treatment for a medical problem, if we want to talk about addiction that way, who cares if they take methadone the rest of their life as long as they're not using heroin and committing crimes? We have 70 residents of the city of Reading, or roughly 70, that drive 150 miles round trip per day to go to Chico to get methadone treatment. They have treated up to over 200 of our citizens that just can't simply make the drive to Chico every day. So I asked them, what is the rearrest rate of your 267 current clients? How many times have they been arrested? The answer is less than 6%, and a majority of those within the first 90 days of treatment. So it's showing that it's having a positive effect with those taking it on arrest rates for their clients. I also asked them how many of their clients are homeless, and the answer is about 5%. I asked them how many were homeless when they started and aren't homeless now, but they just didn't have that data. So, I mean, I think it shows that there's a positive means. 98% of the people that go to their clinic are going through medical insurance. It can be funded by some of the programs for the lower income, like Medi-Cal drug and some of the other options that we have. But quite frankly, when you talk to them, most of their clients are actually insured by Blue Shield and other things, and most of their clients come in business suits with briefcases. They don't come in looking indigent, what we would think you would go in there. A lot of our community that may not be doing robberies and other things like those addicted to heroin are addicted to opioid painkillers, and the methadone assists with the withdrawals from that as well. So I think it would be a positive thing to bring into the scope of strategy that we're talking about. Is it really a criminal justice issue that the police chief does this, or is it a health and human services issue? That's probably more on the health and human services side, but I'm trying to help facilitate solutions that can address some of these issues that are taking place in our community. So I think it would be good. We just have to position it like a doctor's office and treat it as a medical condition if they're going to use methadone.
I think the British had started this many years ago. I really don't know the long-term effect of it, but they basically were running methadone clinics. How does this dovetail with, I mean, I have knowledge of some youth in town who have failed multiple rehab centers, mm-hmm. you know, off for 30 days, 60, 90, and that's been tragic because they seem to almost recycle through the,
right.
And this would be a different, they're trying to be withdrawn and get their life. This is someone who basically shifts to methadone use?
Yes.
That piece?
Methadone does a couple of things. Number one, it keeps them from going through the withdrawals of heroin so they don't get desperate. And number two, it occupies the receptors in the brain that heroin affects so that they get the high. So even if they're on methadone or, and there's a lot of chemical names here that I'll screw up, like buprenorphine or I think is what it's called. There's several of the others that they talk about. They occupy those receptors. So if they use heroin while they're taking methadone, they don't get high. So they've just, it diminishes its effectiveness. So really the idea is a combination of methadone plus counseling and their daily contact with the staff, because you don't get to take methadone doses home because methadone can be sold on the street.
It's done under visual supervision.
Correct. It's, yeah. And it's, they
it's
don't,
a liquid now.
They don't give pills. They give liquid. They have to stay for 30 to 45 minutes for their counseling afterwards, which means they're having a conversation. So they can't hide it in their mouth and go spit it out and then sell it to some heroin addict so they don't get sick. So I think that the way it's being managed, the counseling that comes with it, it seems to be, you know, is everybody that walks into a clinic like that going to come out clean in 30 days? No. And there's going to be those that don't show up and regress. And, you know, your typical, you know, addicted person is going to go back and kind of relapse several times before they get straight. But when you talk to some of the local folks that are actually succeeding in that program, you know, it makes you think that it's worth, you know, bringing it here and trying it. There's no expense for the city. It's just a licensing issue. They're a private company that uses medical insurance to pay for the. So, you know, I think it's worth giving a shot and making sure the two companies that we talked to are very successful in other cities. One of them has treatment centers in I think 26 cities. The other one is over 70 nationwide. They're both ones out of the Bay Area, and you know we have a center as close as Chico, but. They told me, they said, if we open, we think we'll have 250 clients in the first 60 days. I said, I think you better plan for a little bit more.
Well, I like this approach. I mean, particularly if they have a track record. And that's what you've explored. And to get to Terry's comment, that's actually about protecting the citizens of Reading.
In turn, it is. It's an indirect way to try to solve things.
It's called prevention.
It's solving things at a root causal level. And the root causal level of a lot of, I wish methadone and some of these things worked with methamphetamine, which they don't. But.
Yeah.
You know, the fact of the matter is a lot of our criminal activity, a large portion of it is being created by drug addiction. And we need to, you know, we've talked a lot about, yes, I need more cops. We also need more bed space to hold people accountable. But we also need to address the mental health and the lack of drug addiction capacity in Shasta County to try and find some solutions to these. I would love to tell, you know, this community that I'm going to bring crime down to zero. And that's always the goal of police chiefs. We're going to reduce crime. Well, you can't reduce it to zero because that's utopia and that's unrealistic. We want to be able to control, quit treating symptoms by just arresting and start treating the root causal issues and trying to get some drug addiction treatment, some other things for some of the people that are suffering in our community and making the community suffer and damage the quality of life. So if we can find ways to address that, I think it's worth the effort.
The British efforts in this regard was that you really aren't going to basically clean up all addicts, but you can transfer them to a drug.
To another drug. You can addict them to methadone, which is
once a day,
which keeps them from buying.
And violence. Yeah. And, of course, the good news is you put the drug pushers out of business, potentially. I mean, they're only going to hang around as long as they can sell their product.
There's a question here, and you've already answered it, but it's not, I just want to make sure it's clear. When they say, who's going to pay for this? Insurance pays for this, or
a majority of their patients have private insurance, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, and things of that nature. But you know, obviously, you know, with your discussions earlier, some of those insurances are now subsidized. So, you know, I guess if they don't have
insurance, if they're just a thug, and they go down there, they want to sign up for this program, then it's going to be picked up by
Medi-Cal drug or something
Medi-Cal.
Else, yeah,
so
you know,
tax eventually unsustainable is who the guy's writing. Part of it is going to maybe paid by private insurance, but probably most of it won't. Most of it's going to be right out of your taxes.
I won't argue that point.
But we don't care about that. Frankly, I don't care about that because we've got these people out there stealing, which is causing a huge impact on our society, that it's cheaper to put them into a methadone program than it is to constantly chase
arrest them.
And if they're just stealing not enough stuff, they're not going to – They're not going to go to jail. We already know that.
Well, and if we can get
so let's addict them to methadone and give it to it every day, and try to bring them back into society somehow.
If you can get them off of the heroin and you can get them to stop stealing, and you can couple that with vocational programs and jobs, now they're starting to pay taxes and alleviate some of that cost, which they're not doing now.
Well, we'll see.
I think that's. I mean. How are we doing with what we're doing today? Not too well. I think this is good, and I think it's a great example of proactive.
We need to take a break, but before we do, I want to talk a little bit about something you said earlier, that when you said you're in the you're having a meeting at the Red Lion, you went out, and Haven Humane's truck was there. It
was the dog was not,
the dog was not in Haven Humane's truck. I missed that somehow when you were saying it, and I said, because soon we went to a break, I said, Haven Humane had a puppy in there?
No.
Haven Humane was there because it had been called about a puppy in a truck.
In the car, yeah.
In the car.
They had the thermometer.
And they had the thermometer or the heat gun that you can just push in and it can tell you the thermometer and tell you the temperature inside these cars, and they asked you for your help.
Correct.
That's what it was. It wasn't Haven Humane who had the puppy in the the van.
And by the way, Harbor Freight sells those. I use them on my RV tires, so when I pull over the rest stop on our trip, you can shoot your tires and see exactly what the
temperatures
are. What the hub temperatures are as you're driving around, and make sure your tires the
you know what, you would do that. You would do that.
They're
They're
about $22, and they're really good.
Hey, you know what you can use them for too? You go into your air conditioning vents, and you see how cold the air is coming out of your air conditioner in your house,
and I
see how cold it is 10 feet away.
Well, when I shoot the ceiling in the RV, I can see what the intake temperature is, and I go over to the duct, and as long as I've got 25 degrees, I know my air conditioning is working fine.
You know what? I love you, man, because this is Doug McConnell. You know, this is Doug McConnell. Yeah. All right. Hey, we'll be
I'll
right
give
back.
Give this to Linda, and she can see how hot you are.
She already knows how hot I am. She's been gone for 4 days. She's going to find out quick.
All right.
It's 15 minutes until 9 o'clock. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
On Saturday, September 10th, bring your family to the fair, the annual Orchard Nutrition Center Health Fair.
Hi, my name is Chad Davin here at Orchard Nutrition Center. We've been holding our annual health fair for several years now. Our goal is to show the community what's out there for organic, GMO-free, natural. Show what vendors are actually local to Shasta County, Trinity County.
You'll have an opportunity to sample some of the Orchard Nutrition Center products and talk directly to vendors. Enjoy great food from the barbecue, including chicken and sausage from Smart Chicken, beef from Hat Creek Grown, and the always delicious Orchard Pizza. Entertainment from blues guitar singer Jimmy Limo, and plenty of fun for the kids, including a reptile party, raffles, and much more. The annual Orchard Nutrition Center Health Fair, Saturday, September 10th, at Orchard Nutrition Center, 221 Locust Street in Reading. For more information, visit them on Facebook or online at OrchardNutrition.com. Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Bott and Dr. Doug McConnell here today, Thursday. Gosh, the 11th?
Yep.
The 11th of August. You know, June, July just shot out of here.
My birthday in a month.
Your birthday's in a month, and you'll be, what, 75?
Oh, that's not true.
Okay, sorry.
9-11, though.
You look.
That's my birthday.
Oh. This portion of the show is brought to you by Bastiani Arms, located at 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. John and Sarah started Bastiani Arms 7-8 years ago now, about the same time we started the radio station. And if you've got any type of shooting requirements, whether it's buying a pistol or a long gun, ammo, training in CCW or hunter safety, if you need gunsmithing going, they've got the best gunsmiths around. They have it all at Bastiani Arms, and veterans get great deals at Bastiani Arms. They get real discounts at Bastiani Arms. Located at 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading, John Bastiani and Sarah just do a great job. Give them a chance. They will meet or beat the cost of the cost for guns from the big box stores. Bastiani Arms. Hey, our guest today is Reading Police Chief Rob Pelletti, and of course Dr. Doug McConnell is my guest host. And let's go to the phones. Pete, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I had a comment, a question. I took up the chief's offer about a year ago. He talked about the ride-along program here in Reading. I did that one night. And I really gave me a much greater appreciation of what the police are up against. I mean, we were moving all the time. It's a job I certainly couldn't do. I've got 22 years of military service. It's a job I couldn't do, and I wouldn't want it to look like a really tough way to go. And with that said, my question to the chief is, what's going to happen in the future? I've been told by a couple of police officers, not locally, that it's getting more and more difficult to hire young men that will qualify for police because they've either had gang affiliation, drug use, some kind of problems in the past. I'd like to hear his comments on that about hiring new people to replace the retiring force.
That's a good question, Pete. Thanks a lot.
Well, I'm actually very concerned, and I think the profession is very concerned about the future. If you look at the national rhetoric that's taking place in our country right now, vilifying police and vilifying the profession itself, it if you're a young kid today, I mean, these police officers in most of these cases are being, you know, acquitted of what they're being accused of, even though the media jumps to judgment. But their careers are over regardless. And that's a challenge for a young police officer that's done their job and done it effectively, and now all of a sudden they're in hiding in New York. And, you know, young people looking at this saying, hey, I could be completely right, and I could be out of a job. It is a trying profession, and recruiting is struggling on the military side as well, being a 26-year veteran of the military. You know, the Army didn't meet its numbers this year. So
that's the second year in a row the Army didn't meet their numbers,
and
by the way.
It's a generational thing, you know. Of this is a calling for a very special person. And with the proliferation of marijuana use and its acceptance, that's not going to be an accepted thing in police work. There's a lot of liability. You know, the first thing we do when we have an officer that's involved in a shooting is give him a drug test. Marijuana stays in the systems for several weeks. You know, we can't allow police officers to use marijuana and take that liability.
What if that happens? Or do you give your regular urinalysis to people?
We can give a random urinalysis to the officers, but, you know.
If you think there's a reason, you can't just give them to
anybody.
Well,
no, I can randomly do it to the officers. It's in their MOU. The fact of the matter is, you know, if you have an officer-involved shooting, it's not like it is on Hawaii Five-0 where they high-five each other and go to the bar. The first thing they do is go to the police department for a drug and alcohol test and, you know, evidentiary photos and everything else. Well, you know, can you imagine if we had an officer-involved shooting and, you know, marijuana goes legal and we make it legal for cops and now all of a sudden it's you know, there's marijuana in the system, what the you know, defense attorneys are going to do and civil attorneys
are going to do? I think the CDC just said is that marijuana is still a class one drug. They are not changing it.
And the fact of the matter is that all this stuff going on in policing is making it very difficult to get the younger generation to want to come into policing. And, you know, there's a lot of discussion in California Police Chiefs Association, International Association of Chiefs of Police, on how do we, number one, get the younger generation to want to go into policing, you know, because it is a good profession, and we do make a good wage, and we do get a good retirement, and we do get good medical benefits. And I think that we all, you know, if you ask officers, they appreciate all of that. It is a tough job, but you do get stability with it as well, where, you know, I'm not a commissioned salesperson that I have to, you know, make certain quotas every month to make my income. You know, it's a stable career that you can do for 30 years and get a good retirement in the end, just like staying in the military for 20 years.
Okay.
But it's tough to get the young kids to want to come do
that,
something that's shift work and weekends and holidays,
you know,
and all that.
But with all that in mind, you're getting ready to hire four people right now. And you had how many applicants?
We had about 130 that sent in applications. We require 30 college units for applications, so some were weeded out because they don't have their college units. One of the concerns that I had with that is I actually asked my training sergeant that does all the hiring, how many of those that we weeded out because they don't have college units have 4 years of honorable service in the United States military? Because any kid that has that, fills out, I think it's a DD Form 795 and sends it to a school, is going to get the 30 college units. How many did we weed out that were veterans that chose to go that route rather than college? It ended up being five. But that's, to my opinion, that's five too many. So I want to talk to the POA and personnel and look at that classification to be 30 college units or 4 years of honorable military service on active duty.
Good point.
Take that over to now how many show up for the written test? You know, some of those don't show up.
Right.
How many passed the written test? So when we got down to physical agility written test and those that actually showed up once they sent in the application and the 30 college unit requirement, we interviewed about 31. And I think from judging from what the two, my lieutenant and my sergeant that did the interviews, I think we've got a good group of, you know,
and you're
predominantly
gonna see, you're gonna
local
send
young kids,
local
that,
kids
to the academy.
That you're sending to the academy. So, okay. So there's a question is how do we get it? So there were the applicants, but, you know, it's like with the Highway Patrol, and they get thousands, but by the time you get down to sending them to class, it's down to 3%. So you've got four solid guys or girls that you're sending. And let's just talk about the Sheriff's Department, who has 18 openings right now.
I think the last time, Tom fluctuates between, I think, about 10 and 20.
Okay.
I think the last time I talked to him, he said 18 and then he said 11. So I think he's somewhere down in there, but
somewhere
a lot more vacancies than we have.
And the reason is, and I'll just flat out say it when people start talking about pay, is that the Sheriff's Department gets paid at least a third less than you.
That, yeah.
So somebody could literally go in there, go get trained at the Sheriff's Department, turn around, you've got an opening, and do a lap move.
And they do all the time.
It's something you would look at because the person's local, you know who they are, and you'd hire them. They'd make a third more immediately.
You know, really, if you look at it and you want to get an idea of how departments are struggling with this, look at the California Peace Officer Standards and Training website. On the right hand, I believe it's on the right hand side, it says job opportunities. Click it and look at how many agencies are hiring.
Mm-hmm.
It is a extremely, extremely competitive environment to hire police officers right now. And I can, you know, run up and down the state with my guys and talk about how beautiful, you know, Redding is. And you're in the middle of, you know, hunting and fishing and hiking and trails and lakes. And, you know, the fact of the matter is the young generation looks at one thing. What's the bottom line in my checkbook? And, you know, we're competitive from a salary standpoint with Stockton, Sacramento, Modesto, Manteca, Lodi. We're not competitive with the Bay Area or L.A. The cost of living is a huge difference. So, you know, we understand that. But when you're that young kid, you're looking at that bottom line paycheck. And so that's a challenge for us to get people to want to come to the North State. I think it's because they just have never been here and they don't know how beautiful it is. Most of the ones that we get are actually, you know, local that started their career somewhere else and we were able to attract back, or they're kids that are local and want to stay local, so they're trying to go to the Redding Police Department. And I think our trainee program, where we're actually going to send them to the academy, will be a good opportunity for some young kids that can't take 6 months off work to go to a police academy because it is full time, it's 40 hours
right.
a week. And
these are local guys.
Some are from out of the area, but you know,
how far out of the area?
You know, I don't have their absence right.
I mean,
you know,
but
Eureka, Wairika.
Okay, but they're Northern California folks.
There's a couple
okay.
from Southern California that said, hey, you know, I've been vacationing here, hunting and fishing my whole life, and now, like Rob Pelletti, I want to live where I vacation,
yep.
And you know, that's a good opportunity for them to do that. As long as the police officers or whoever we hire, in my opinion, move here, become a member of this community, and have a stake in what they're serving. That's what the important thing is. I'm not from Stockton, California. I'm from Redding, California. I live here. I live in Shasta County. This is my home. My family isn't down south, and I'm commuting up here. I moved my wife, my kids. My son is at Shasta College. My daughter and my wife are at Simpson University. I'm from Redding, California. And as long as a kid is willing to take on that mindset, I think we still have a good police officer that's going to serve his community well.
Hey, Bob, you had something. I'm sorry that could, you know, because we were in a
thought. Well, it was just my wife who works for the Forest Service. They have some millennials coming in and working for them, and she was very struck by the overall attitude that seems to have been programmed into these kids. I talked to 20-somethings. Of a general hostility and mistrust towards authority in general, law enforcement in particular. And I wonder, is that our education system that is programming these kids that in the media?
I don't know
well,
if it's
and
our
politicians.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's our school system. I can certainly say that the media has yes. definitely, you know, they're a profit-based business and they make money off of controversy. And by jumping to conclusions and creating controversy, and they're using law enforcement as the scapegoat in that. And I think that if you look at a majority of the cases involving police use of force, when the full investigation is done and the evidence is presented, it shows that the officers are doing the right thing.
Just quick, just a one-word reaction here. At the Democratic Convention, they had the mothers of African Americans that were killed, and yet no mothers of policemen that were killed yeah. during that same time frame. But just a general thought.
Yeah, I think actually one of the mothers asked for a moment of silence for the Dallas police officers, and she was booed.
Yes,
there you go.
I quickly talked to Bonnie on my over yes. here. She wanted to thank you in this department. She said you guys have been wonderful.
We will do our best to try to find that.
Okay. Hey, sure. Thanks a lot, Chief Doc. Thanks a lot for being here. Tomorrow, Congressman Doug Lamoff will be joining us. Everybody, it's good guys against bad guys.
All right.
Which are you?
You're listening to KCNR, Shasta Redding. We now join SRN Town Hall News in progress.
Trump addressing the National Association of Home Builders in Miami Beach. A 19-year-old Virginia man identified by the NYPD as a man who climbed the outside of the Trump Tower using large suction cups. Stephen Rogata was seeking a private audience with Donald Trump. Arrested on charges of reckless endangerment and criminal trespass, Rogata has been hospitalized for observation. The Drug Enforcement Administration deciding to keep marijuana on a list of drugs for which there is no accepted medical purpose. As many as 7 people are still unaccounted for after an explosion and raging fire at a suburban Washington, D.C. apartment complex.
No prior issues concerning the buildings.